In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Greg Gallegos and Annie Romero. Today we have the great grace of offering this Mass within the octave of Easter. What does it mean to celebrate a Mass in the octave of Easter? Easter as an octave. What does that mean? An octave, it's just like it sounds in Spanish, octavo. It's an eight-day celebration of the exact same feast. We do this for Christmas. There used to be tons of octaves throughout the year, the octave of Pentecost, the octave of the precious body, the octave of the Ascension, all these sort of octaves all throughout the year where we sit and meditate upon these particular feast days because they're such big, because they're so great, because they're so important for us that one day wouldn't do. One day isn't sufficient to be able to spend time with them. And so we celebrate Easter, not just for a season, but really we celebrate Easter Day for 8 days. And so that's why this Mass, you would see no difference in its celebration other than there's less people here from yesterday as opposed to today. And the same thing tomorrow as we celebrate Mass in Santa Rosa and as well as in the prison and so on and so forth for the whole of these 8 days. Now, the eighth day is a particularly big feast when we celebrate an octave. So you have the actual day of the feast, which is the first day of the octave, and then the last day, which would be the eighth day. Why is it that the Church has sought that she would celebrate 8 days of a feast rather than 7 days or 6 days or any other number of days? You don't know that either. That's all right. We're learning things. We're learning things here. So 8 days, remember, we are a people of the eighth day. To be a people of the eighth day means that something happened really important on that first day. I'll ask our young man, how many days did it take God to create the universe? Remember from our studies in catechism class? How many days of creation were there? You've forgotten. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. Sometimes people forget these things. You're learning and you haven't made your first Holy Communion yet, so that's all right. God made the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. And what did he do on the eighth day?
He again.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. He remembers. Good. I knew you remembered that part. That's real good. So we talk about that. So on 6 days, he created the universe. On the seventh day, he rested. And on the eighth day, as he said, he got back to constructing things again, got back to doing again, got back to working again. That's the reason why the Jews would circumcise a child on the eighth day. On the eighth day, why? Because 7 days was the day in which God originally constructed everything, the 6 days and then the 1 day of rest. And then after that, it was time for a recreation, to things be created once again. So 7 days, the child was outside of the covenant. And then on the eighth day, he was brought into the covenant as a reaction against the sin which messed up the first covenant, messed up the first original thing. And that's why children should be baptized within 8 days. That's one of the teachings that the early church struggled with, the time for baptism. But it's the same reason why we have 8 days. So on that eighth day is an important day to get back to work, to live out this mystery, whatever it is that we're celebrating, the Ascension, Easter, Christmas, whatever it is, to enter into it more fully and to say that it's something that's supposed to mark who we are from this day forward, not just for a week, but actually for a week plus one, a week from beyond, saying that from this day, we're supposed to continue to live this out even beyond what this octave is. And so what is the octave day of Easter? So the eighth day of Easter. The second Sunday of Easter. That's right. Divina Misericordia. Divine Mercy Sunday. And so what is it that we're supposed to live into and supposed to take out of this Easter season all the greater? A recognition of God's great mercy that he pours out upon his people because he desires that none should be separated from salvation, but that all should be a part of it. And so, given that this is the first day, we should also be thinking about what that last day of the octave is. So we're building towards God's great gift of mercy. In a moment, we're going to speak about, in Spanish, what that means to not live into that mercy and what can keep you and I away from mercy by being ambivalent, or another way of saying that is to be two minds about God's great gift of mercy. But you'll have to pay attention in Spanish to get that. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Cuando los primeros seguidores de Jesús se encontraron de que Jesús había resucitado, algunos estaban medido contentos y medido asustados. Eran ambivalentes. Esta palabra significa de dos mentes, dos mentalidades. Estaban alegres, pero también temerosos. Están llenos de alegría y también tienen temor. Esta reacción dividida todavía ocurre hoy en nuestras vidas también. Cuando nos encontramos por primera vez Jesús, nos recojamos que con gran alegría, pero también nos damos cuenta rápidamente de que la vida en Cristo conlleva nuestros retos y nuevas responsabilidades, especialmente en la evangelización. A veces esto nos hace querer rendirnos. Satanás, el diablo, no pudo impedir la resurrección de Jesús de entre los muertos, así que ahora se reduce al intentar impedir que difundamos la buena noticia de que Jesús está vivo y ha vencido al pecado y a la muerte para siempre. Una de las principales formas en que Satanás intenta limitar la difusión de la buena nueva es tentar a los testigos de Jesús para que tengan miedo. Miedo a evangelizar, miedo a cambiar radicalmente el estilo de la vida, miedo a dar un paso adelante en la fe, miedo al rechazo. Si Satanás puede apoderarse de al menos una parte de nosotros, está en camino de reducirnos de testigos medidos a testigos nulos. Por eso, Jesús dijo inmediatamente a sus primeros testigos. Él se dice, no tengas miedo. Siempre y cuando Jesús encuentra una persona después de su resurrección, siempre se las primeras palabras de su boca siempre están, no tengas miedo. Fear not, be not afraid. Jesús se enfrentó al miedo lanzado un desafío. Mandó a sus seguidores que fueran y contaran la buena nueva. Si estamos medido asustados como las mujeres en el sepulcro, pasamos a la mejor mitad, al parte medio gozosa, la parte que está llena de alegría. Poned los ojos en Jesús y en la alegría de su resurrección victoriosa, como se dice San Pablo en su carta a los Hebreos. Que su alegría sea la tuya y que tu alegría sea completa en Él. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.